Dorvan let his sentence trail off.
We're all glad to be rid of her.
Luke felt a shudder of uneasiness roll through the Force. He looked back to Kip and found him glancing over at Kyle with a worried expression, heart climbing into his throat. He asked,
"We're not rid of her?" "As far as we know, yes,"
Kyle said, motioning for Luke not to get excited.
"But we had an unusual report."
"Who from?" Luke asked.
"Jedi Knights Aurelis and Sar,"
Barata Kel replied.
"They have been working in the Outer Rim, helping the slaves build free societies, yes?"
Luke nodded.
"Go on."
3 days ago, they were attacked by a tentacle,"
Barata Kel explained.
"It materialized out of the Force and attempted to choke Jedi Sar. When Jedi Aurelis ignited his lightsaber, it released Sar and turned to attack Aurelis, then just dissolved."
"Sathias said it looked like it wanted to attack,"
Octoramus added.
"But it couldn't hold itself together. It vanished back into the Force."
Luke's semi-healed chest wound began to ache.
"Any reports since then?" "None,"
Kyle confirmed.
"We think it's whatever remains of Abeloth trying to coalesce around symbols of her hatred."
"I think you're right," Luke said.
He could still feel her cold tentacle writhing in the emptiness of his chest wound.
A phantom memory reminding him that an entity of the Force could never be truly killed. That in 100 years, or 100,000 years, she would grow strong enough to return.
"We're going to need to find a way to keep tabs on her. She may not return in our lifetime, but the Jedi Order will need to be ready."
"To do what?"
Kip asked.
"To kill her,"
Luke replied. He was thinking of the story of his father's trip to Mortis, of the special Force-imbued dagger that had been used to kill both the daughter and the father.
"We need to find the Mortis monolith."
"Master Skywalker, I hope you'll forgive me for asking," Dorvan said. "But when you described the story Yoda told you, didn't you say the monolith was free-floating?"
"That's right."
"Won't that make it rather difficult to find?" Dorvan asked. "Even if you know the approximate coordinates."
"And we don't," Luke interrupted.
Dorvan's face fell as he began to comprehend the truth of what Luke was telling him. That when it came to Abeloth, there were no guarantees. She might be gone for now, but someday she would return. And if the Jedi were not ready, the Destructor would finish what she had begun. As Luke watched the terror of this realization wash over Dorvan's face, he wanted to reach out in the Force and comfort the tormented man. To tell him that the Jedi would be there to protect him and Coruscant and the entire galaxy. But that would have been a lie. The truth was that Luke no longer knew what the future held, whether he and the Jedi were equal to the challenges ahead of them. All he could do, all that any mortal could do, was place his faith in himself and his fellow Jedi and do his best. The rest was up to the Force.
"I wish I could tell you that Abeloth won't be back, Chief," Luke said at last. "But the truth is, I just don't know. If the Jedi could have stopped her from coming to Coruscant the first time, we would have. I'm sorry we failed."
"It's not your fault. Or the Jedi Order's," Dorvan said, waving the apology off. "I know that, even if the Senate doesn't."